present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Cape Times, read by Charlotte Green.
Mr. Conrado Bacani's joy at winning a second-hand car in a Philippines raffle turned to dismay when he tried to register the vehicle and found it was stolen. Police in Florida Blanca arrested him for possessing a stolen vehicle, but were forced to release him when they found it had been donated for the raffle by their chief of police.
Well, thank you, Shirley Agnew of Powers, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Simon Hoggart and Tony Hawkes. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Russell Davies. Before we start round one, here's a report from the Blackpool Evening Gazette, sent in by Mr. E.G. Scholes of Blackpool.
A one-legged man is threatening to sue a licensee after his wooden leg developed woodworm when he left it at the pub. Defiant landlord Ian Campbell, aged 42, laughed off the legal threat. He said, if it comes to court, he hasn't got a leg to stand on.
Simon, you're sitting in the Richard Ingram's memorial chair, and as by right, the first question comes to you, and it's this. Who was ordered to tow the single line after taking the Michael?
Oh, this is Mr. Portillo.
It is.
Who was summoned by John Major, who so called him to Downing Street and said, look, Portillo, this just won't do. You've got to do something about that hair. We can't have a hairstyle like that in my government. So anyway, Mr. Portillo listened to this, and then he just gazed at the Prime Minister and said, okay? In fact, it's Michael Portillo who made a disloyal speech about the European single currency and was summoned to Downing Street to be, as we in the trade say, carpeted, in fact, given a cup of tea and told by the Prime Minister he hoped you wouldn't mind very much that there's going to be rather an offensive statement put out, but it was quite all right, really.
Very comprehensively answered. Well done. You only get 2 points, but there you go. That was Michael Portillo, who upset the entire membership of the John Major Supporters Club, or to use its other name, Norma. Mr. Portillo, in between modelling for those pictures in gents' hairdressers, contradicted official government. You could have the Roger. Or the Michael. And Mr. Portillo denied there was any sign that he's making a bid for number 10. Measuring up for curtains during cabinet meetings has always been one of his little hobbies. Tony, you're next. Here's your question. Yeah. Where has a tunnel vision finally been realised?
This presumably will be the Channel Tunnel, which is finally being opened Friday or Saturday, I think, by the Queen. And who else? Someone French, presumably. The French President, Mitterrand. It's just taken them ages and ages, hasn't it? And it's cost much more than they said it would.
You're absolutely right. It is the official opening of the Channel Tunnel by the Queen. Overdue, overpriced, and still not working. That's the tunnel, by the way. The opening means that before long, lucky Parisians will be able to board a train at the Gare du Nord and within 2 hours be whisked all the way to a points failure just outside Orpington. One more problem remaining to be solved by the two railways is that of time difference. If it's 12 noon in northern France, when they arrive in Kent, it's still 1948. Russell. Welcome to you too. Who will be slipping into the Gaza Strip thanks to a surprise signing?
The Gaza Strip haven't formed a football team, have they? Yeah.
No, the Gaza Strip is the Gaza Strip.
You mean the Gaza Strip has been sort of vacated for Palestinians by the Israelis?
Yeah.
Good heavens. I thought it must be a football team. No? All right. No. Well, that's what they've done. And they've got out. And after an amazingly embarrassing signing session where they've just sat there for hours exchanging bits of paper which they refused to put pen to,
that's right.
They finally did.
It is.
It was all about the spin-off rights and the T-shirts and it's... and who gets what? And
then, yes. That's what I'm saying. It's the David
Yasser Arafat commemorative ashtray deal. And the film. Agreement 2.
Well, it took...
Indiana Clinton and the Agreement of Doom. A lot of money riding on this. That's the only reason they've done it.
It's this week's other historic peace deal, apart from Major and Portillo, that is, which was signed between Israel and the PLO. Yes, in the words of Yasser Arafat, if this isn't peace, I'll eat my tea towel. The move came after Israel's human rights record came under attack from trendy lefties like F.W. de Klerk. Alan, will you have a listen to this? Don't you ever know yourself. You grasped that that was called Prince Charming. And your question is, which PC is anti-PC?
Oh, this is the Richard Ingram's question.
It is.
Prince Charles thinks it's about time we clip people around the ear in order to educate them properly.
That's right.
It never did him any harm. That's why he's got ears like that. But he thinks the occasional smack really doesn't hurt. And then you grow up in a decent, happy family. You learn to be a good husband and father yourself, and so does your brother, and your sister learns to be... And the other brother, well, I think... But anyway, I mean, that's what he learned at his... What he learned at his father's knee, or probably across it. What a funny lot they are.
You're absolutely right. This is Prince Charles, who launched a savage attack against political correctness. He said that people today know nothing of their literary heritage and recommended that we read George Eliot. There was none of this feminist claptrap about him. Not like that dreadful Evelyn Waugh woman. And we come to the end of a round, and the score, as it is traditional in this programme, is 4-4. Well done, chaps. We start round two with a snippet from the Alton Herald.
Borden Forest WI's April meeting featured a talk by Wendy Stewart on housekeeping in Borneo, land below the wind. Members were given a recipe for a Malaysian curry, which has a diverse selection of ingredients.
Yes, thank you very much indeed, Ms. E. Saunders, for sending us that. Simon, a question again. If history is bunk, why are schools bunking off?
Well, this is all to do with John Patton, isn't it? And the great dates of British history, they're all going to be left out. We're going to only learn about social life of lesbian Incas. And that kind of thing. And then sex education is going to be introduced to it very slowly in a very caring and loving environment. So that they... And so on. It's yet another attempt to monkey about with our schools, isn't it? On the one hand, you've got the government saying that all we should learn is dates and the glorious succession of Margaret Thatcher. On the other hand, you've got this advisory committee, which is telling everybody that we've got to be totally politically correct and that basically anything that happened in Britain is a complete waste of time.
Yes, that's
more or less,
it
isn't
awfully well.
I heard that they were actually planning on sort of introducing streaming in sex education, something like that.
Streaming?
Yeah, kind of like if kids that seem to know quite a lot about it would go to the top group.
Oh, I see.
It'd be rather depressing if you kind of went down in sex this term. If you'll pardon the expression.
Yes, of course. We understand your innocence in this matter.
The oral would be quite fun, wouldn't it? Oh.
Once they get onto something, they're like ferrets, aren't they? Yes, it's more news about political correctness, this time for little kids in the classroom. Sorry, the differently old in the educationally enhanced environment. Prince Charles was angry that children will no longer be forced to learn about the kings and queens of England. He'd be hoping that at Eton, they might explain to Harry and Wills who he is. Tony. Whose holiday snaps are said to top a million?
Yeah, well, everyone knows this answer, don't they? This is rather sad, isn't it? This is poor old Princess of Wales trying to live her new life, keeping a low profile. Perhaps the profile's a bit too low in this case. She seems to have made a bit of a boo-boo again. She was in Spain, I think, wasn't she, and holidaying, and took her top off, I think. Not knowing that there'd be lots of cameramen secreted about the place. And now the British tabloids, to their credit, aren't buying the pictures.
Right.
And I read somewhere that the proprietor of Hello magazine might buy them and just keep them for his own personal use.
I think that sums it up beautifully.
There's a long, long tradition of topless royal women, of course, of Fergie, Anne Boleyn.
Victoria used to gallop daily naked through the streets of Windsor, dressed only in gumboots and John Brown's Tam O'Shanter. But in those days, people were trained to look the other way. And indeed encouraged their horses to do so. And I think I'm very sorry for Di, that she's fallen so foul of public indecency. I think it's frightful. So a woman can't walk out onto a hotel balcony in Spain stark naked without people taking pictures of her.
There's also Barbara Windsor, who inaugurated this trend, the black sheep of the family. I mean, right, she was the first one to do it.
This is the Princess of Wales, who's said to be furious about topless photos taken of her at a Spanish hotel. It's so disappointing when your holiday snaps come back from Boots and you find you cut everyone's head off. Russell, will you have a listen to this? Well, that was the Beatles, I believe they're called. And here comes the sun. And the question is, who flew back from the sun thanks to a lift from the sun?
I think this must be Mr. Knight.
It is.
Mr. Knight has come back from the Costa del Crime. Borne back by, some people say, the lure of the aforesaid Barbara Windsor, black sheep of the royal family. Ooh. But probably by tickets supplied by the Sun newspaper. He's now up for something, isn't he? He's up for...
Well, he's taking part in a robbery.
A robbery of 7 million
quid. He was alleged to take part in a robbery.
99 years ago, yes.
I thought he looked ever so young and fresh.
Oh, no. Not compared with when he went.
Oh, right.
No. But then again, he did go on his honeymoon with Barbara with Kenneth Williams, so that probably aged him no end. Why they did that, I don't know.
That must have been an odd situation.
Going to play Just a Minute, probably.
Yes. That's right. In William's case, that would probably be true, however.
Yes.
It's all about Ronnie Knight, who returned to Britain after 11 years by courtesy of the Sun newspaper, who also laid on a film crew from Sky News just to ensure he wasn't spotted by anyone. Mr. Knight was said to have come back because he was missing English food. They presumably can't get porridge on the Costa del Sol. Alan, who was looking down in the mouth on account of a gift horse?
This has been going on for some years. A foreign potentate, the Akond of Swat or something like that, fell in love with John Major, gave him a horse. And like so much else in John Major's life, this thing has turned out to be an absolute nightmare. Actually, in Albatross, they've brought it back from wherever Swat is, and they've given it to Major. Major's not actually a horse person. I mean, born in the circus, you've only ever seen him in two halves with a bloke drinking beer in one end of it. Anyway, they've sent him this real horse, and is completely unreasonable and untrainable, like most of his cabinet. And now it's got a bad tooth, and it's gone into some royal horse dentistry thing. Meanwhile, out in the Far East, this bloke is going barmy because he's given him this expensive horse, hoping to get a dam or a long-range gun or something like that in return. Nothing is happening, and the bloody horse is dying even as we speak. Oh. It's terribly sad.
It's a damn shame.
The thing is that they also gave one to President Mitterrand. Did you see it was Turkmenistan?
Oh, they ate that. I remember.
This is the Prime Minister's prize stallion, Mascat Akhal Teke, or Cecil, to give him his short name, which is said to be insipid, gloomy and lifeless. Or just about perfect to mount a leadership challenge. Before accepting the horse, Mr. Major insisted on a thorough veterinary check-up. The Prime Minister passed. And looks a good each-way bet for the 340 at Wincanton. And the scores. The end of round two are really not that risible because they're eight all. We start round three with this cutting from the Devizes, Melksham and Vale of Pusey News.
Signed photographs of all three major party leaders were amongst items up for grabs at the new Baptist Church Hall auction in aid of the Devizes Carnival. Mr. Ashdown's picture fetched £20, while John Smith realised £7.50. A photograph of John Major attracted one offer of 50 pence. A cartoon by Rolf Harris and a day out as a guest of Wiltshire Fire Brigade raised £650.
Thank you, Charlotte. Simon, who's sheepishly making an exhibition of himself? Sheepishly exhibition.
Oh, I think Do you need a bit of help here?
Yeah, I do. I need some spirit guidance.
Well, we could swap questions here, possibly. I think it's a guy called Damien Hirst.
It is indeed.
Who's a sort of strange artist, and what he's done is preserved a dead sheep in a glass tank and is selling it as a piece of art.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right.
And all credit to the lad. That was Simon's answer.
This is about Damien Hirst, who's an artist producing all sorts of odd pieces. His latest work is a dead sheep suspended in a glass tank. It's a fine example from his Dewhurst period. The dead sheep in a tank of formaldehyde is brilliantly entitled Formaldehyde in a Tank with Dead Sheep. It was planned to transfer to Wales, but fell foul of their laws on erotic art. Tony, here's a piece of music for you. That was Airport by the Metros, and you can collude, but your question is this. Where is financial advice useful for the jet-set Parkers?
For the jet financial advice? You see, I'm glad I swapped this question with Simon. Because I'm in some considerable trouble with it. So, any ideas?
Airports are charging an enormous sum of money to park your... your plane at Heathrow.
It is an airport story, but it's not planes.
Haven't people been at Heathrow, or something, come up with a scam of being able to park their cars there for about 7 weeks and then somehow get away without paying the £300-400 they should be paying in parking?
That's exactly it.
Don't know how they do it, though, do you?
Well, I'm about to explain.
Right, OK.
Briefly, it involves parking at Heathrow for a week at a cost of £800, but then getting away with paying only £50 by substituting a rented car. If it wasn't for the Today newspaper printing exact details of how to pull off this appalling fiddle on page 19 of last Thursday's edition, we'd all be none the wiser. Russell, your question now. Why will less news be all the news for the early birds?
Less news?
Yes.
Be all the news for the early birds?
Yes.
Well... That's the foggiest idea, mate.
About real birds. Early birds. Not about Andrew Neil's defection.
No.
Real birds.
No, early birds. People get up early and switch on television.
Ah, yes. Channel 3 on your dial has been allowed to get away with reducing its news content, which is already practically nil. What will they do? It's going to have more cornflakes adverts, more sofa interviews. It actually says this in their statement of intent. We will have less news, we'll have more sofa interviews, and that bloke in the shorts cavorting about. And there won't be any news at all. I cannot understand it, mate. It's beyond me.
On the basis that no news is good news, I suppose.
Well, that's right.
However, this is the startling news, that breakfast station GMTV has been given permission to broadcast less news, so apologies to GMTV viewers who obviously won't have heard about this. GMTV bosses denied the change signals and moved down market, as did incoming newsreader Arthur Mallard. Alan, how did Penny profit after coming under holy orders?
It's a nun.
It is a nun.
That wasn't hard, was it? Lesbian? Lesbian nun? I'm not doing that. Pull yourself together. Prurient Welshman here who's got a lesbian nun story. I didn't know about this. She was called Penny.
She was called Penny. She was an American lady. Mm. Well, can't remember much more about her except her picture.
She's not been up to anything with Clinton, has she?
No.
Had every other woman in America. He's probably getting through the lesbian nuns now.
Let me tell you, put you out of your misery. This is Sister Penny Prophet, an unqualified Franciscan nun who was given £850,000 in nursing research grants before being exposed as a fraud, along with her colleagues Father Huge Con and Mother Superior Fibber. But at least it wasn't Wendy Beckett. And the scores at the end of the round have changed rather dramatically because Alan and Russell have 10, but Simon and Tony are in the lead with 12. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the West Country.
Anthony Francis Long, a self-employed ceiling fixer, was found guilty by Plymouth magistrates of exposing himself to a woman waiting for a bus. Mark Tilden, defending, said the victim may have been confused by the movement Long made while rolling a cigarette.
Pause while that sinks in, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to Paul Raven of Plymouth for spotting it for us. Simon, will you have a listen to this?
Riding along on the crest of a wave, and the sun is in the sky. All our eyes on the distant horizon, look out for passers-by. We're overhailing when other ships are on the sailing. We're riding along.
Well, that was the Gang Show singing On the Crest of a Wave. And your question is, who won't be prepared with something for the weekend?
Well, it's, yes, I used to be in the Scouts, and,
Oh, yes.
When we... and, you know, when we said dib, 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 and went outside to adjust our woggles, it meant something quite specific, and we very well understood what it meant. And it had nothing to do with condoms. They simply weren't issued in my pack at St. Augustine's Hole. It's indeed the Scouts' jamboree. That for the first time, they're not going to distribute condoms to them when they have it. The chief scout has said, enough of that. Yeah, I'm not having them unrolled everywhere. You're not getting your special badge on your sleeve for that.
I have to ask Simon, how many scouts were there in your pack? Just the... No, never mind.
No. This is the chief scout who announced the movement is opposed to casual sex and the condom culture. So they're all right with their ging-gangs, but that's as far as they'll go. Traditionalists feel the very thought of Boy Scout and Girl Guide sexual encounters would have Baden Powell turning in his dress. Tony, where will a net result have them stumped up the garden path?
It's sort of a cricketer story, isn't it? Isn't there a guy who's fed up of cricketers hitting cricket balls into his garden?
That's right.
So he's got a high judge or a judge to come down, and not a high judge, I suppose, quite a sober judge, really. But... come down and check it all out, walk round, see where they hit the ball. And he's told a story that 8 cricketers came to get their ball back. And he said that this was intimidation. I don't quite know why they should be intimidating getting their ball back, but that was his case.
This refers to Mr. and Mrs. Lacey, who live alongside the cricket green at Jordan's in Buckinghamshire. They're seeking an injunction against the village team as they claim cricket balls whistle into their garden and cricketers root about in their shrubs. The Laces only have a problem when 4s and 6s are scored, so as a safety measure, until nets are put up, the green will only be used by the England team. Now, Russell, where is magnetic attraction driving them to drink?
Magnetic attraction?
It's about a drink, I'll tell you that much.
Is it within the British Islands?
No, sir, it's more to do with a rutter.
I think it's to do with the polar ice cap and Russian submarines. No, it's not. The one thing it's not anything to do with is
it's brown. It must be Boris Yeltsin, mustn't it?
Well, Yeltsin comes into it, of course, as it's about magnetic vodka. Does that ring a bell?
There are stories about vodka sniffing, which I don't believe.
I'll tell you what I've got down here. It's all about magnetic vodka from the Black Sea. Magnetised vodka is claimed to cure most ills and never to get you drunk. We used to have something similar called magnetised Watneys. However... magnetic vodka comes from the natural health resort of Sochi, where Boris Yeltsin likes to visit the spa. It may not get him drunk, but he has been seen completely polarized a few times. And the morning after, he may not remember where he is, but his head is always pointing north. Alan, who is going ape because she cannot hear the mating message?
They taught a gorilla to speak. Well, it has 1,600 sorts of sign language. And given the sort of people that file past its cage, it probably uses all of them in a given day. But anyway, they took it somewhere to mate with a male gorilla. And the people came by and looked in the cage and said things. And this upset the gorilla, whose name I think was Kokoshka or something like that, began with a K anyway, because it wanted to talk to them. It didn't want it having anything to do with its mate at all. The mate just lay there like President Clinton waiting for somebody to do something to him, and this female gorilla wouldn't go near him. She just made a lot of signs to the people outside. It's a terribly sad story.
It's a sad story. You're absolutely right about the name starting with a K. It's Coco, actually. It's all about Coco, the talking gorilla, who won't breed because noises from the outside world are ruining her sex drive. Coco is so reluctant to mate that she's getting abusive calls from pandas. The 22-year-old gorilla has a sign language vocabulary of 1,600 words. Well, 1,606 if you include, not tonight, I've got a headache. Coco's keeper said the atmosphere had to be just right. You know, the kind of thing, candles, music, top of the Empire State Building. David Attenborough. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams brought along. Simon, have you brought a cutting for us?
Yes, it's from the Wolverhampton Express and Star. A naked man brought a keep-fit class at the Wensbury Leisure Centre to a standstill when he burst in and began performing obscene acts to the music. Police later asked for a description, but the women said no one had noticed his face.
Thank you. Tony?
Well, I don't know whether I'm allowed to do this, but before I do my clip, I just mentioned that I was listening to the Jamesons on Radio 2 on Monday night, and they were interviewing a female steeplechaser called Vicky Hay. And this Vicky Hay was saying how much she wanted to ride in the National. And she said, "I'm going to ride in that race before I die." To which Mrs. Jameson said, "Oh, I hope you do it a lot sooner than that." You couldn't argue with her logic there, could you, really? But the clipping I've got is from the Daily Express. A scheme to get more Frenchmen to use condoms has flopped.
I think you've caught the mood of the audience. Yeah.
At the request of the French government, Durex maker London International Group agreed to sell condoms in single packs for just 1 franc each, about 11p. They normally cost about 50p for a three-pack. LIG's boss said, "If the scheme has failed to expand the market, we will withdraw."
Russell.
This is a one-line story from Mississippi, which tells you all you need to know about Mississippi. It's from the Daily Mississippian, which comes out every day in Mississippi. Senator Hainan Miller, Democrat, Greenville, has filed a bill that would make drive-by shooting a crime.
Well, thank you kindly, Russell. Alan, what have you brought for us?
Well, by coincidence, my cutting tells you all you need to know about Arkansas. And it also involves a bill. Mrs. Paula Jones claims that when he demanded sex, Mr. Clinton was abusing his superior position.
And look at the final scores. It's quite interesting because Alan and Russell have managed to score 12, but Simon and Tony have romped away and are this week's winners with 16. Gentlemen, congratulations. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Wolverhampton Express and Star, sent in by D.N. Vernon of Wolverhampton.
Rodney Williams brought his mother's ashes to court in Kelso, Washington State, in a plastic box to prove her illness and death were the reason she missed an earlier appearance and hadn't paid the fines for an assault charge. The judge accepted the excuse, saying, "Somebody always comes up with something new."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Simon Hoggart, Russell Davis and Tony Hawkes. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Aled Evans.